All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects, and we are all present and accounted for. Hopefully you are going to take us along for the ride on whatever you've got going today, business or work-wise or otherwise, as Barry and Nick and myself are in studio here at Gal Media. And wherever you are, fasten your seatbelts and we'll take you along for a little ride for the next 3 hours or so. Fellas, what it is, what it do, what's going on?
Just dripping the most. What are you doing?
How's the back?
Not good. It's better.
You may need a drip.
I'm very sore. Like I feel like I worked out. And it's sore.
And you didn't work out?
No. Well, I mean, if you consider putting a cup on the roof of your car a workout, then yeah, totally worked out.
Yeah, I pulled my back on the way home last night in the parking lot.
He was mocking you in the parking lot.
Where are you? Nick was behind me. I stopped the car. I got out and I put my drink on the roof. Went, oh, it locked up.
He was not even done backing his car out. Now I had to stop in the middle of the parking lot. I'm like, what are you doing?
And then he thought I'd need traction.
Acts like he pulls his back. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
That's okay. It's fine. I probably deserve that.
No one else saw it.
Man, I tell you what, I might still be high though from all the
you got all drugged up last night.
Man. And then you ever like taking so much stuff that you felt like you slept for 12 hours, you wake up and it's like 10 o'clock at night. That was exactly what happened. Like I saw the first half of the game.
Football game. Yeah.
Fell asleep during halftime, woke up at 10:45 and was like, let's go to work. I'm ready. Like I felt, and then I was like, damn, it's only 10:45. I had to redrug myself to go back to bed. It was awful.
Well, that wasn't a good time to redrug yourself.
So now I'm
11 o'clock.
Yeah, so
2 hours.
Then you woke up
show.
At what, noon?
No, then the wife woke me up at 5:30, made me some coffee, kissed me goodbye, and as soon as I heard the door shut, right back to bed. Went memes again.
You can have coffee and go right back to bed.
Yep. And then woke up at 10:30 this morning to come to work.
I drink a lot of coffee too. That actually doesn't surprise me too much. Because you can kind of get used to it.
Yeah, I started drinking coffee when I was like 13 years
old.
Yeah,
I drink a couple cups at Rockets games. Like almost every time there's a Rockets game, I'm drinking at least two or three. And I can still go to sleep.
Like if I'm driving a long ways, like home from a gig, and I'm going to be in at like 2 in the morning, I'll sit there and drink coffee the whole way. It keeps me up. As soon as I hit that pillow, I'm out. It doesn't affect me. So
now, have you become connoisseurs then about like what's good coffee versus? Because some people with wine, I know that there's so many wine drinkers that go, now you can taste the hint of chocolate, tobacco. This I'm like
tobacco.
I'm like, no, seriously, they have tobacco in wine.
No, I don't. I can taste it. Like there's HEB has pretty decent Keurig cups for. Yeah. They have like the San Antonio blend and the Houston blend is pretty good.
Yeah,
you can taste what they say is in it. But for the most part, I just don't like it strong. That's why I don't like Starbucks coffee. It's usually, I have to get like the blonde or something. I don't like the dark roasts.
Oh.
It's, no.
So you're going
that
blonde
was racist.
Instead of dark.
That was
I
racist.
See what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
I know. But yeah, I'm not a connoisseur like that. Even though I've been drinking it for damn near 30 years. Nah.
But you can tell good versus bad coffee.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. See, I like it stronger. Like I'll order an Americano at Starbucks, but I ought to order light water because I don't want that watery taste. I want it to have a little kick
to it.
A
little bite. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Nick, by the way, speaking of that, it's in season for you now to get your pralines and cream, chestnuts and waterfront Starbucks.
I know. I haven't been able to go, but yeah, I'm definitely going to be spending too much money. I love Christmas time at Starbucks. That's the only time I'll give them a free plug, to be honest with you. I do like going to Starbucks during this time, but I'm not going to spend all my money on Starbucks throughout the entire year. I just can't do that.
I got you.
Too much money.
Yeah, they closed the Starbucks that I went to every day out in Sugar Land. So I've been trying to find another one.
Uh-huh.
And part of it is like when you go to a bar and you get the right mixologist to get you the drink the right way. I keep trying to find one Starbucks that makes my coffee the right way where it has that kick to it. And no matter how much you ask for it, and like I'll pay extra for more soy milk than water if I have to, it doesn't matter. They just so far they haven't been able to master the artistry of making my coffee right.
See, that's why I just got to kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. You just get coffee and equal, or I just get a mocha.
Okay.
Just the way mochas, they can't mess that up. That's on the menu. It's like getting a quarter pounder. Like, it's just, you know, it's going to
be
made right.
Yeah, I saw what's in it. So I was like, yeah, that's why I get the Americano, which is just shots, soy milk, and hot water. Mm. So, and some
mocha's the way to go.
Yeah. I used to, and then I saw
how many calories.
Yeah. That I'm eating a Big Mac every time I'm drinking a Big Mac. I'm like, nah, I'll pass on that.
That is true. So what was your choice of game to watch last night?
So I did the whole treadmill thing with the first half of the Rockets.
Uh-huh.
And then tried to stomach the football game.
Yeah,
it was just dragging. And then, like you, without the drugs, I ended up showering, eating, everything like that. And I ended up falling asleep on the couch. Well, I woke up and I had to ask you, because I woke up and I saw Drew Brees get picked inside the 10 and the Panthers run it back. And I'm like, boom, that's the break the Panthers needed. They might be able to pull this upset. I fell asleep again. I woke up and I'm like, why is it still only 12-9?
Yeah, 2-point play was the interception. So, yeah, it wasn't a pick six, but it was a pick two. It was a pick two. And at the time, you know, look, the Panthers were in that game the entire time.
Games.
They, if not for Cam, they have a chance to go down and tie that game up, because they get a big defensive stop. They're marching down the field. It's just the big thing that I heard all morning, and even last night a little bit when I woke up in between, was his accuracy. He's got accuracy problems, and they were throwing all kinds of stats about it. But all you got to do is watch.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just that game in particular. He was pretty inaccurate, but that's been a knock on him for a while now.
He's going to blame his shoulder.
But sure.
He's always been a little erratic.
Sure.
But, you know, and then the other thing was the people always say that, or critics always say, he lacks the big-time receiver.
Yeah.
They've never really gotten him help there. Because McCaffrey, from a fantasy perspective, if you had McCaffrey last night, you did well. Because he had like 26, 27 points. He threw for one. Like I said, I don't think he's an every down back, but he's so versatile. He can catch it. He can run with it.
That was a gutsy call by Ron Rivera.
Really was.
To have that halfback pass like that.
Is he gone, you think?
No.
There's people lobbying to save his job, but that's now six in a row.
No, I don't think so, because they were in that game. And like I said, you look at his record last year. I mean, every other year he's gotten this team into the playoffs and you know, going far. So I don't think he's gone just yet. But it was a gutsy call. It was no one saw that coming.
I liked it.
Yeah, and it turned into points for them too, which I think they said it was the Cam doesn't even have a 50-yard touchdown pass this year.
Man.
So that's a bad look for them. But I, you know what? Props out to, first and foremost, props out to Clarence. He called it. He said it would be a tight game.
Yep.
I thought, you know, that Saints would easily win by a touchdown, and they should have. They should have. But you know what? Offense didn't play well. Give a ton of credit to that Panthers defense. They stepped up big. They did their part. It's just the offense couldn't get anything going. And again, give credit to New Orleans defense. It's been keeping them in games as of late. Offense has been sputtering a little bit, but that New Orleans defense has really stepped up and done their job. So, I mean, they held the Panthers to 9 points last week. They held a good Bucs offense to 14. I'm looking at their schedule. The most they've given up since that Rams game was 17 against the Falcons. So that defense is going to carry them in the playoffs, or help anyways, because that offense is sputtering a little bit with the Saints. But you know what? Every team's going through that right now. You think about it. The Rams are sputtering a little bit. You know, we've seen the Texans falter down the stretch and not look great. And the Patriots. So this isn't something that I don't think you're worried about if you're a Saints fan. But most, you know, the NFL is going to catch up with all these teams.
But you needed the win, too, because of the fact that the Rams are faltering. You wanted to solidify, and I talked about that yesterday, solidify that number one spot in the NFC, because home field is going to mean something. You don't want to go to Chicago. You don't, you know, the Rams don't want to go and play on turf. But it looks like the Saints are going to be that one seed because they did what they had to do. So they got a win. And like you said, I was going there as well. Who's playing well other than that? For all these teams that you and I kept saying with the power rankings, there's three teams and then everybody else is playing for whatever slots are behind them. But the Chiefs haven't played well. The Rams haven't played well, like you said. And the Saints didn't. It's not pretty. It's not 40 points a game like they were once scoring. But you're right. Because of their defense, they're establishing another side of the football that a lot of people didn't give them credit for earlier in the year.
Hottest team right now, I think it's, to me, it might be between the Bears and the Chargers.
I agree with that. I think the Chargers have to be in the discussion.
I was looking at win streaks. Chargers have the longest right now in the NFL at 4. So there's no doubt that they're hot. But
that's coming off one earlier in the year where they won like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
So I think they have to be in that discussion.
Patriots lost 2 in a row, so yeah.
Steelers finally won one after losing 3 in a row. So everybody's kind of up and down. All right, we're always up, not down, and that's why we're here for you. HR&P Listener Line, 713-780-3776. Something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we're here for you. You can also reach us via Twitter, where it's at @TheProducerNick, at @PacManJoel with a K, and at @BarryIsFunny. Segment two coming around the corner. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio. Speaking of the game last night, and I had said that I had fallen asleep and then woke up, and then that's why I was confused on the interception on the two-point conversion. But Jason Witten was at it again last night. I was telling Barry during the break, I had fallen asleep again and then woke up, and I heard Jason Witten say of Cam Newton, I mean, he said something to the effect of, there's a guy that gets a lot of yards after the catch. And I'm like, when's the last – did he really say – and I thought I was still half asleep, groggy, and he really didn't say that. But then we got the audio. Nick's got it. It sounded a little something like this.
Cam, resilient. That's what he does. I mean, he can make plays like that. He's athletic. One of the best things he does is run after catch. New Orleans is trying to wrap up. They're not doing a very good
– I'm like, okay, so I wasn't dreaming last night. Where did –
He might have realized it. He might have realized what he said.
That's
like,
why you heard the pause.
But that's
the point. Absolutely, that's why you heard the pause.
You think so?
Oh, no. Play it back. Just listen. There's this hesitation where he's like, what the hell did I just say?
Cam, resilient. That's what he does. I mean, he can make plays like that. He's athletic. One of the best things he does is run after catch. New Orleans is trying to wrap up.
He's like, he's like, did I just pull a rabbit out of my head again? Oh, no.
Here's the thing I learned a long time ago when doing live television or live broadcast, like doing the games. And then what we learn all the time here. It's better to correct yourself immediately on something like that than hope to God someone didn't hear it. Because one, someone heard about it. And two, you're going to hear about it because they're going to let us know via Twitter, via text message, and think that they are like the new executive producer of ESPN Radio. So his best bet would have been, yards after contact is what I meant to say. Just some quick correction. But instead, leaving it alone and leaving it for people that are already remembering pulling a rabbit out of his head and some of his other one-liners, that's just...
He's gotten a lot of reps, a lot of live reps. You'd think he'd figure it. Maybe he needs some off-air practice.
Yeah, you would think so. And here, I got bad news for everybody, too, because then I started digging a little bit, and there's a recent interview with one of the heads of ESPN that said that not only are they sticking with Joe Tessitore and Booger and Witten next year, they're going to look to get them more reps doing other things, and
Lord,
that
what?
They are going to be a prominent and prevalent broadcast team for ESPN going forward because he doesn't believe in pulling the hook quickly or making abrupt changes while the guys are getting used to doing a new job like this. I'm like, man, so in the meantime, the people pay the price?
I don't know if you heard the pregame, but and we're all guilty of this to some degree, but you feel like if you get to that level, if you're doing Monday Night Football, you should be polished. You should be ready for that stage, that level. I mean, what we do is one thing, but he in the pregame he was talking to Tessitore, and he just every sentence started with look. He'd be like, look, Cam Newton is great with yards after the catch. Look, if I have to pull a rabbit out of my head, I'll do it. Look, and like everything he said started with look. And it was like I was almost like, oh, here we go, this is gonna be a game where everybody has to take a shot every time he says look to start a sentence. So he needs polish, man, and I don't hate it as much as a lot of people do. I think a lot of people, it doesn't bother me. I don't know. I'm just maybe more apathetic to it all because I'm just watching the game and I really don't notice. I'll be honest. I don't notice Jason Witten. That's for me. I don't notice him even when he says stupid stuff. I think Tessitore does a good job. I actually kind of like Booger McFarland and what he brings to the broadcast as far as contributions, especially talking about defenses and alignments and stuff like that. So I don't really, people are hating on them. I think sometimes this whole internet culture and people in general tend to just, oh, we're supposed to hate these people? Okay, I'm down with that. I can hate, I'll hate them too. That's fine because I'm not invested either way. So I just feel like that ball gets rolling. They're not the worst on TV for by any stretch of the imagination.
I don't mind. I'm with you. I don't mind Booger. And overall, Joe Tessitore is a very polished broadcaster. I've told you when I nitpick wearing my old hat of director of broadcasting and I look at it, I wouldn't start calling players by nicknames in the first quarter of games. I would kind of let things kind of settle in and get people that maybe aren't loyal fans of either team to kind of figure some things out before you pull a D-Hop or a DW4, which no one would pull, but you know, things like that. But other than that, I think Tessitore and Booger are fine. Witten just to me hasn't gotten any better.
I think you know, there's a promo on the station where Fred and AJ are talking about this, and I think Fred says it best: is everyone expects a Romo now, and you're just not going to get that. Romo is, I mean, he's a diamond in the rough. Like, he's just, you're not going to get that. So I think if you just take it for what it's worth, he's an ex-football player that got hit in the head a lot and probably is going to say some dumb things, then you're okay.
Well, you're right, because people expect they were teammates. They think they're buddies. So they think they're getting just another version of Tony Romo in Jason Witten. And for whatever reason, Romo just picked the microphone up running and hasn't missed a beat and has really added a ton to a lot of people that watch football in terms of what he brings to the table, not just stats-wise, but predicting defenses and calling plays and telling you about formations and run-pass options. Witten just isn't the same person. And you're right, to some degree, it's unfair to expect that just because they played together on the same team and things like that, that Witten's going to be anywhere near what Romo brings.
It's not the same thing. I mean, no.
And in different positions, too. As a quarterback, you're more apt to picking up the things that Romo points out.
Well, and I think Witten does a good job in certain regards. Like, he can talk about pass protection, especially since that was part of his job as a tight end, was to pass block and even run block. And so you get some good insight from him in certain situations. It's just Romo's good because he had to read defenses, so he had to know defense as a whole. That's what I think makes him so special, is he knows what's going to happen on offense. But because he had to read it, he knows what's going to happen on defense when there's certain alignments. And I don't think Witten necessarily had that responsibility. And I'm sure he does his homework, and I'm sure he knows the game of football. He just says some dumb things sometimes.
Booger did say last night that in talking about Cam Newton and the fact that you shouldn't get enamored just with stats, he said, stats are like bikinis. They show some things, but not all things.
See, I don't know why people make a big deal out of that. What's wrong with that?
So that was a big deal this morning
why?
On social
Again,
media
Again, it's
well.
Just become it's become in fashion to hate on this crew. And just there. Why would you nitpick that? That he was just trying to be funny. He was trying to make a joke. And what he said kind of makes sense about all of it, bikinis and stats. I don't know why people would be hating on that.
So some of the hate is that he played defense. He shouldn't be telling anybody like Cam Newton how to play quarterback or what's good and what's bad.
That's,
but he's paid to be
tired.
An analyst.
That's dumb.
So you have to take both sides.
That's like saying that we're not allowed to talk sports because you and I never played professional sports. That's dumb. I mean, I have eyes. I can see. I can watch things too. I think people are just being too harsh and too nitpicky on that crew. It's fine if you don't like them, but to sit there and overanalyze every single thing they say, just, I don't know.
I mean, you know, and
again, it's that Wolfpack mentality on the internet where people get into it.
And really, like I said, They target people that are out there, radio and TV wise. We are targets.
Yeah.
And obviously these guys more so than ever
especially
know.
You and me, because we're so big time.
Right. Like, but I'm saying these guys, Monday Night Football,
so
and
popular.
How big that at least used to be. But you know, if you just delve into it deeper, look, people are picking on his chair. You know, the fact that he sits on that crane.
Yeah.
And they've made him adjust that, and you know, that's a big deal. And so look, they're targets.
Here's a nice story about Tony Romo and how we were talking about how everybody loves him. Mm-hmm. This past weekend when I was at the club in Plano, he went to the club in Dallas to see
Jeremy Piven
on Friday night. And so they had one of the local comedians was kind of Jeremy Piven's handler for the weekend. So he took care of everything he needed. And he said Friday night that Tony Romo came out to see the show and brought his family. And so Romo's like wife went up to this comedian, Tony, his name's Tony Casillas, went up to Tony and said, hey man, it's one of our, you know, we're having a birthday party. Is there any way we could get a cake with some candles? And so Tony's just a comic, but he was like, yeah, I'll make that happen. We'll do it in the back. That way it's not a big deal, but you can still celebrate. We don't want people to recognize you. Then it'll just be madhouse. And so he did it. He went and got a cake and candles and made it all discreet and said that they were just so happy and that Tony Romo came up to him later and just out of the blue. And he was told by the club owner, look, don't get starstruck around Piven and Romo and all these people. Just handle your business and do it, you know. So Tony Romo comes up to him and is like, hey, man, what's your, you know, I really appreciate you taking care of my family. Thank you so much. Shook his hand. And then he said, you know, it meant a lot to us to be able to have this night, and you made it special, so thank you. And then goes, you know, Tony, the comedian, said, well, thanks. I want to thank you for being my quarterback as a kid, for growing up. He goes, what's your name? He said, Tony. And then they had a joke about both being named Tony. He said, come on, man, I'm going to introduce you to my family and my mother-in-law. And took him over there, and everybody was so thankful. And then, so he didn't have to do any of that, obviously. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool that he took the time to go over there and thank him and introduce himself. And he was very, you know, generous with his time and his praise. But what sucks is the club owner comes up and goes, I thought I told you don't get starstruck.
Oh, see.
He's like, he came up to me. Yeah. I didn't do any of that. But I thought that was really cool, man, because, you know, a guy like Romo doesn't have to take the time to go talk to that dude, shook his hand, messed with him, you know, had to spend a couple moments with him. So,
well, that's the opposite. I don't know if you heard Lance talking to Granato about the fact that one of his buddies is a chef that owns a restaurant. He and all his buddies were hanging out at a table. Verlander, Kate Upton, and another couple were in there, and they sent over a full bottle of wine. And at the end of the night, Justin and Kate just walked out, and one of the people from the table kind of half-heartedly walked over there and said, hey, thanks for the wine. And wow. Granato and Lance were talking about it. Like, at least you can do, especially if it's just like, you know, an expensive bottle of wine, even if it's not, but just say, hey, thanks very much. You don't have to go and like just shake wave. Hands and mingle and take pictures.
Send somebody over there.
Yeah. Just wave and say, hey, appreciate it, guys, on the way out.
Wow.
But so, yeah, that's the opposite because, you know, but Romo's a good Wisconsin guy. So I don't claim him, but I'm glad to hear that he was a nice guy.
He was a nice guy.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Hey, right now, I missed it last night, but if you, the bowl games are approaching. You've still got some NFL football left. Man, if you're not getting this action through MyBookie, if you're not getting in on that in-game live betting that MyBookie has, you're really missing the boat. And I know a lot of you out there are on the fence on whether you want to, you know, get some action on these games or not. Dude, try it out with MyBookie. That's the first of all, they're safe, they're reliable, they've been around forever, so you know you're going to get paid when you want your money, when you win. But sign up is really easy. The website's real intuitive. You just go to mybookie.ag. I'm telling you, you could be gambling on these games tonight if you wanted to. I mean, bowl season is coming, so you know you've got your favorites and who's who in your mind. Why not make some money off of that at the same time? Get to mybookie.ag and get signed up. Like I said, safe, reliable. But the big thing is, man, when you win, you want to get paid, and MyBookie absolutely pays you. You get your money back. You get your money out when you win, and you don't want to go through that because there are people I know that have left who they're with because it was such a hassle to get their money. So don't go through that. Go with mybookie.ag and get signed up. They've got in-game live betting, like I mentioned, so you can get action. Even if you miss it at the start of the game, you can get that in-game live bets going. They've got player perks for you. Some of the best in the business, too. And then they've got, you know, all kinds of, like, remember, I was telling you about the fantasy points thing? That's winding down, but that's just how cool it is. You could have bet on over-under on fantasy points for a player. So they've got it all for you, and it's real easy to get signed up. Just go to mybookie.ag, use promo code radio, and they'll give you a 50% match on your first deposit. So you put in $500, they'll match it with $250. Just use promo code radio when you sign up. Super easy to get started. Just go to mybookie.ag. It's MyBookie. You play, you win. You get paid at MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 p.m. when the Blitz takes over. If you want to get in touch with the show, 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. We will take your phone calls. We might read your texts. You can also tweet us at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick. Had somebody ask me on Twitter how much weed I smoked right before the show. The answer is zero. I don't smoke in radio. That's not Hollywood hop. I am not high. I am just a little maybe hungover from the drugs last night. Although I have muscle relaxers and pain relievers, and I didn't go to the hydrocodone yet. I had some left over from the last time I had back problems, but I was like, that'd be too much. I would really be out of it today. So just a little under the weather too. I started getting sick, I felt like, last night. So all at once, I'm like, yeah, this is perfect.
Zicam.
Yeah, I need to get on some of that too.
I'm telling you, it works. Did you? I got you on it. Did it work last time?
Yeah, I think it did. Like, I think it did.
Drug dealer now? Like a pusher?
No, I'm recommending. First one's free. I'm not a pharmacist. Okay. I did, and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Select last night either. Okay. How about that?
It's like a pre-cold deal.
Yeah, I mean, look. Bottom line is, I learned my lesson the hard way. But when I do try it, it does work. So I was pleased with it. Taylor's teacher was like really sick, and I was like, first of all, you need to go home because I don't need to be sick for the holidays. I don't need all the kids, which are just like they are definitely carriers for every virus out there. But I told her the same thing. Go and get some freaking Zicam and go home.
Yeah.
Because hopefully it'll help. But it's going around. That's what we went to urgent care this weekend to take Taylor for something. And I'm sitting in the lobby and I'm looking at like six different people just hacking up a lung. And I'm going, I don't want to be in here because I'm just asking for it.
Yeah, and the people I stayed with when I was in Plano this week, both were sick. So I have a feeling I'm probably got some of their cold as well at the Foxes. Don't.
No, I'm trying.
Shout out to Amazon B's brother. He also said that I think Witten corrected it shortly after he said it. But shout out to him as well. He's going through some things. So we hope things look up for you, my man.
He probably corrected it when he got killed on Twitter.
No, because I don't know that they're looking at that. But I would say the other thing that people aren't aware of is your producer's almost always in your ear. And one of the first things you have to do, which is tough for an ex-athlete, is to understand that while you're talking, someone is going to be talking to you sometimes. And you have to be able to talk your way through it. And that pause also told me that maybe someone immediately was like, oh, hey, you know, you said catch instead.
Yeah.
But then you start thinking about it, that becomes even more awkward because now you can't get your thoughts together. So I'm sure it'll come around.
Somebody wants to know, or it was just kind of but they said, if you don't mind me asking, what was your mom on when she named you Booger? I'm pretty sure that's a nickname.
It's a nickname.
Right? Yeah.
It's Anthony Booger McFarland, I believe.
Want to know why he got that nickname either.
I would say it's probably going to be something that is going to be disgusting, but yeah.
You know, because the only thing I can think of is Revenge of the Nerds.
Booger's a great character on Revenge of the Nerds.
And his nickname was Booger because he ate his boogers. That's the only thing I can think of. Why else would you name someone Booger or call him that?
I'm sure that he had something to do with the pick a winner. He played with Keenan at Tampa Bay.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he played D-line on the Super Bowl team with Sapp and all those guys with the Buccaneers.
Because he used to pick and eat his boogers, according to Wikipedia.
Well, that's exactly
what his mom called him Booger. Yeah. And really? His sister used to pick on him about it, too. According to Wiki.
Well, maybe that was why he grew up to be so big and strong.
Kids anything out there, on Wiki is facts. So.
Kids out there, make sure you eat your boogers. I want y'all to grow up big and strong. Listen, if your mom and dad tell you to stop doing that, you don't listen to them. You eat your boogers and your vegetables, and you'll be big and strong.
6 feet, like 300 pounds. Damn, he's big.
There you go.
I don't know if he's strong.
Have you noticed his broke finger on one of his hands?
No.
He's got a finger that goes the absolute wrong way.
No.
Like, yeah. Like, it goes, all the other fingers are, like, you know, doing the dance the same way.
Right.
And this one's like, I'm going to the left. Y'all go right, I'm going left. It's pretty gross. Check it out. You'll notice it next time. He's got one broke-ass finger. It looks crazy. I'm like, man, that had to hurt when it happened. And how do you not get it set?
Well, do you remember Anthony Munoz when on Radio Row? Anthony
Munoz.
Oh,
yeah, his was bad, too.
Yeah, that one's pointing the exact opposite direction. It's like right angle from the rest of his hand.
Man, yeah. Fingers, yeah. There's some folks that their whole hands are jacked up.
Well, you know the Ronnie Lott story. Ronnie Lott dislocated a finger on the top knuckle.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, so he's like, well, how long am I going to be out? And they said, well, if we do surgery to fix it, probably 3 to 4 weeks. He's like, well, how long am I going to be out if you cut it off? And the doctor like started laughing. He goes, I'm not kidding. And he goes, you can play this week. And he goes, cut it off.
Yeah, that's dumb.
So Ronnie Lott has the top part of one of his digits, the top knuckle up to the tip of his finger.
Which finger? Because that's important. Because your index fingers, I mean, you know.
I get what you're saying.
That's your nose finger.
We can look into it see which finger.
That's a lot.
I'll look into that. But yeah, just the fact that would you be willing at any job at any time would you be willing to sacrifice the top of one of your fingers for the rest of your life?
I would sacrifice the top of one of your fingers order to keep my job.
Well, I'd try to sacrifice your tongue, and that didn't work out. So
I would definitely do that. Somebody said on the text line, hey, guys, just getting back to the grind from having 10 days off from work. Can y'all make fun of Nick so it feels normal again?
Jeez.
That doesn't change. That happens all the time.
Well, yeah, you just have to go back and listen to yesterday. We were killing Nick all day.
And when you're on vacation, you're not listening to the suspects?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, where's the app when you need it?
I don't know.
Plus, I mean, if you're on vacation, you're probably getting hassled by relatives and not doing anything fun anyway.
Exactly.
So take us with. What the hell's wrong with you? Well, you want to get this out of the way because we talked about the game.
Let's do it.
All right, Clarence. This portion of the program brought to you by the New Orleans Saints Update. Clarence, how are you?
I am doing well, gentlemen. How's it going?
You must be feeling pretty good about yourself right about now.
I pretty much am because it was some people would consider it a snow fest. I thought it was a good game. I know you guys didn't watch all the way through because you had no kind of interest in it. But I watched all 4 quarters, and it was a defensive, hard-hitting divisional game, as you would expect. And I am thoroughly satisfied with our defense because besides that little gadget fourth down halfback throw, they held them to 0 points through 4 quarters. No team has scored over 17 points on us in the past 5 or 6 games. Now, if the offense could start showing their might again, like I know they would, I'm going to be patient with them. This could be a nice, deep playoff run. What do you guys think about it?
I appreciate the call, Clarence. I'm with you. We talked about that right off the jump. Yeah, I mean, this is a Saints team that their defense is going to be just as important to them in the playoffs as that offense is. And we talked a little bit about the offense hasn't looked great as of late, but you know that it's there and you know they have what it takes. But defensively, early on in the year, you had cause to be concerned about it. But they've shown up and shown out. And you know, even Eli Apple coming up big when he was traded from the Giants he looked bad at the Giants. He's been up and down. He's looked bad at times for the Saints, but if they can keep getting contributions from across the board and keep that team in it, that offense, you know, that's the key. Because you look at a team like the Chiefs, that's a team I worry about in the playoffs. They can't stop anybody defensively. And for the most, I think they're worst in the NFL against the run or second worst or something like that. That's going to be a concern in the playoffs because if you can't stop anybody, all it takes is another team with a defense to force you in a couple of three and outs or get you off the field every now and then to keep up with you. And fortunately, the Saints can do both. They can hang with you on the scoreboard if they need to. They can win 45-43, but they can also win 12-9.
We talked about how important balance is, too. And with Kareem Hunt, that was a totally different offensive unit. But obviously, they've been dinged up with the backups with Charcandrick West. Everybody that seems to have tried to fill in the role that Kareem Hunt filled. But that's a huge loss because now as teams scheme, and depending on how much time you have to scheme for a team and at least a week to look at a team like the Chiefs, you're like, they're not going to run the ball anywhere close to the way that they ran the ball with Kareem Hunt. They're not going to get the running backs into the passing game as much as they did with Kareem Hunt. Because Kareem Hunt, as you remember, not only had big rushing games, but he would get you some really good chunks of yards receiving with the football too. So that makes them easier to plan for, to game plan for, as opposed to a Saints team where you've got a two-headed monster in the backfield that thunder, lightning, and versatility, and both can catch the football. And you've got Drew Brees, and you've got receivers that can get open. And Michael Thomas is a beast. Because you saw yards after the catch last night with him getting first downs and just taking on 2 and 3 defenders. So their offense has always been really, really good. And you're right. Their defense stepped up last night. They've been stepping up. And the guys that they drafted and they brought in, like Apple, you mentioned, and other people, have stepped up to play a role in getting them to be a defense that you can't just laugh off. So to me, they're the best team in football right now. And because they're playing the best of the three teams that we thought were the three best teams in football, I give them a huge advantage going into the playoffs.
Okay.
No. I looked it up, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Ronnie Lott's pinky finger.
Oh, it was his pinky?
And it was amputated.
That's okay. The whole finger or just the tip?
There's a picture of him catching the, holding the, I see what you did there, the Super Bowl trophy. And he said that afterwards he broke out into a cold sweat and basically was asking, what have I done? but he said I should have had the pins put in. But he held the Super Bowl trophy that year, and the picture is with him with like half of the pinky finger missing, just a nub.
You don't really need the pinky. You
not
really
as much.
Don't.
Well, unless you're drinking tea.
I'm trying to think about when you would need a pinky for anything. You can drink tea without the pinky.
Not.
Really, what's it for? It doesn't stop anything you would want to do with your hand. I can't think. Can you think of a reason you would need a pinky?
Not really.
You can grip things. You can hold things. You can pick stuff up. You can still, you know.
I mean, you know, Austin Nick. Powers, if Dr. Evil needed it.
You know what I'm
talking
about.
I don't. Still, I know what he's doing.
No, I don't still, know. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you explain?
You know.
Further explain, sir.
Joel knows.
I do.
Do you do it with the pinky up, or do you include it?
I'm not even getting into your mess right now.
Do you go pinky up? You're fancy.
Leaving it. Use a dress. All alone.
Joel's like, when I do it, I use a dress sock because I'm fancy.
Fancy is putting the pinky up, pinky drink, up drinking tea or coffee.
Pinky up in a dress sock because I'm fancy.
Well, fancy on, my friend.
I guess I have to be the only appropriate suspect on this show. I'm not touching.
I don't know what you're talking about.
When did that start?
I didn't say anything.
Is
I'm always
like
the
part of the whole.
I've never suggested.
New Year's
I've never said.
Thing?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Joel.
Okay. We'll see how long you hold true to that. We're gonna see how long you stay true to that. I give
you
it
can't
like,
be flicking me off on the video feed all the time. He's always flicking me off.
Yeah, he is.
No, I'm not. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about.
He's just telling you you're number one in his book.
That was my pinky.
All right, pinky's up. We'll be back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. I see you there. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, still moving forward on hour number one, 3-hour show. It's the extravaganza we call The Usual Suspect. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. And oh, by the way, fellas, it's my friendly reminder time. It's time to set the stage for Barry to brag about how he picks the topic every week. Hey, we're looking for a theme for Way Back Wednesday. Or are we?
We
songs
have it.
About getting old, yes. Because Barry kind of alluded to it yesterday, right?
Well, it wasn't my idea.
Well, the texter.
It became a, you know, the running joke of the day because I'm 44 and hurt my back putting my drink on top of the car. So I think, yeah, one of the texters said, you should do songs about getting old. Because people were calling in like, you know what? Some of the ones were hilarious, by the way. Yesterday, fun show. Listeners held up their end of the bargain, yep. With some great injuries that were really stupid and lame like mine. So, but yeah, so that thing, unless you guys have something better.
No, I just want to make sure that, like, I want to confirm on the air. That way, y'all
that
don't
way
say,
Nick's
oh,
list
Nick,
will be done by
you're
4
sending
o'clock.
Your list way early. Is this the official Way Back Wednesday theme this week?
About
right, we should
getting
talk
old
about
or
it.
Aging. Okay, we'll talk
we
about
talk
it.
About
we'll
it.
Let,
yeah.
you know.
In the we'll let you know. Yeah, we'll work it over and then we'll let you know.
I was just worried because y'all know I'm going to accumulate my list during the show.
Exactly, which is why we might change the topic. We'll do cartoon theme songs.
I'll play your game.
We might do cartoon theme songs.
So people started suggesting reasons why you need a pinky finger. That seems to be the direction we're headed today.
Oh, I can only imagine what's on the text line right now. You should probably filter those before you start
I've read
them.
I've read them. I've deleted a few of duplicates and whatnot. First one out of the chute said you need a pinky to throw a knuckleball. There you go. That's a good one.
Do you?
Yeah, I think you do because that's the grip.
It's,
yeah.
It's primarily the first three digits. The pinky just kind of is at the,
it's,
the other
hold
side
it, though, the
bracing
ball will fall
it
out
a little
the side
bit.
If you don't hold
it
in. Kind of need a pinky finger to pitch, don't you? Well, like, I guess
not really.
The, yeah, almost like on those fastballs, you can use that ring finger.
The circle change might get a little out of control.
The circle change is the one that would fall out.
The FU pitch after a while.
Somebody said your pinky is the most important finger using a katana.
A what?
A katana. You don't know what that is?
No.
Neither do I. It's a sword. It's like a ninja sword or something. I don't know.
I thought I heard that in like Mortal Kombat once.
Yeah.
Isn't there a character named Katana or something like that?
No, it's a sword. Whatever. There was a character named a sword?
I think.
Katana is a traditionally made Japanese sword that were used by the samurais of ancient and feudal Japan. I was just off the top of my head. I didn't read that from anything in particular.
Yeah, Katana, Princess Katana.
I just
Katana.
Knew that. Okay. Is that true?
Yeah, on Mortal Kombat.
In Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Put
some respect on. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Wow. I learn something new about you every day. You need a pinky to wear a pinky ring, like a pimp. That is
Murph
true.
Murph had one on last night, by the way.
Did he?
Yes.
There you go. See, Murph couldn't have done that if he didn't have his pinky.
It's true.
You need a pinky to make the shocker. Well, also, very valid. Got that one several times, that there is no shocker without the pinky. That's just
what you got several times. You got the shocker several times?
Is that the U of H sign?
No, yeah. That's, you can't do the U of H sign either.
You can't do the U of H sign without the pinky.
Then it just becomes a baby hook'em.
Good point. Very valid point. And no U of H person wants that.
No, not a baby hook'em.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, you can't do the baby hook'em. You got to, yeah. But the shocker is, the pinky is required for the shocker. Grow your pinky out, grow your pinky nail out to snort coke. That's from Jose. Well, Jose, that's not appropriate. We don't do drugs on this show.
Artie Lang does.
Yes, he does.
Well,
how'd that text
go
for you last night?
I saw you tweet that picture out.
That was a disaster.
Anything happened last night about that picture?
No. Why would you ask something?
Nothing at all. You didn't get any responses?
No, I told you. Oh. Even if I did, I wouldn't respond. Like, you meant like a negative response? Like, what are you talking about?
I'm just asking. Oh, okay. I'm just asking, Nick. You don't have to get defensive.
I'm not getting defensive. I'm just saying. I'm a professional, and I don't respond to these trolls anymore.
I'll show you later, Joel.
Okay. Okay. I appreciate it, because I'm not quite with you on this one, but
yeah. All you have to do is go to his timeline on Twitter. It's there.
Okay.
He's like, you jerk. He told me that in confidence. I was like, bro, I'm not going to tell nobody. Just the whole
city.
See,
that's just dirty. That's dirty. It's not surprising, but it's dirty.
I will say this. It was like, oh, like that. When I saw it, I was like, my little baby bird has left the nest. Because it was basically, it was my tweet to Chan.
Okay.
Yeah. It just started off just a bleep face right away. And then I was like, wow, good for you, bud. I like that. Don't take no mess from nobody.
Did that happen while you're at the game, Nick?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have a few pops in you or what?
No.
No, just coffee.
Yeah, I'm always drinking coffee at the games. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's true.
Yep.
You need a pinky to take a bump in the bathroom. We're getting a lot of cocaine pinky references right now.
Would never.
Nope.
What are you talking about?
Never in my life have I done that. Nor would I. Crack? Maybe. No.
Is that the only reason, now that we're doing this with the pinky finger too, but is it the only reason to have one long fingernail?
I mean, can you think of another reason?
Because I have people that I know that I've either seen that have done work at the house, or friends of mine that do work at the house, and I'm like, oh, that. But I don't want to draw conclusions, but isn't that the only reason why you have the pinky fingernail or one fingernail long?
I know we have smart listeners, and I'm sure that someone out there could tell us another reason.
Please.
Other than snorting cocaine to have a long pinky nail, but it's the only one I've ever heard of. So,
yeah.
Nick won't like this, but I have a yard question.
Oh.
I have a grapefruit tree that isn't losing leaves, but it's not growing them either. Dude, I'm the last person you want advice from when it comes to citrus trees. I had three of them.
Really?
I had
You're
three
actually
of them.
Passing the buck on a gardening question?
I had three of them, and I killed them all.
When it comes down to citrus trees?
Yeah. Seriously.
I had two lemons and an orange tree. Oh, no, I had a lemon and a lime and an orange tree and killed them all. You don't want my advice. I think part of it is I over-fertilized them, which you can do very easily on a citrus tree. So maybe that's your problem. Nick's just shaking his head at me like, I hate you so much.
The only funny story I can tell, when I was working for my dad a long time ago, we used to do roadside, like road service, where like we would come to your house in the event that your car is stuck.
Right.
Like it won't start, maybe you have a dead battery. So we went to this house, and in the backyard there was an orange tree. And I took the technician with me to get the car started. We went over there, we got the car started. We went in the back, that's basically where the car was. He noticed an orange tree. But we got the car started, and I collected from the customer, so I was ready to go back to the mechanic shop and go home. Next thing I know, the technician is turning the corner with about seven or eight oranges in his hand. I'm like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm taking these oranges." I'm like, "Those are not your oranges. You can't be stealing people's oranges."
Yeah, it's just,
and I was shocked that there was an orange tree, like in the suburbs, just like that. But
that's very common.
People actually have citrus trees. I'm not taking the time to do that.
Yeah. It's pretty common nowadays.
It was the funniest look ever, though, when he was turning the corner with about seven, eight oranges.
Yeah, I'm just jacking people's oranges.
You steal people's oranges, bro.
That's not right.
Well, that's kind of dirty.
Damn, real
fruit.
Oh, yeah. Better check your mailbox, too, then.
That's good. I like that.
All right, we're just getting going. We've got 1 hour in the books. We still got 2 hours to go to the big show, so there's plenty of time for you to get in here and join the conversation. Got Rockets to talk about. Got a big signing for the Astros to talk about. Got lots of things on the agenda, but always have room for you. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Hour number two is around the corner. ESPN 97.5.